let's talk a little bit about your own hypothesis about alien abductions, because you've got your own take here.
Well, it's a take that isn't mine alone. It was first advanced by Jacques Vallée and Eddie Bullard, you know, who spoke of the fact that UFO abductions might not be caused by physical occupants from physical UFOs, but from another, you know, creatures living in perhaps what we would call another dimension.
Mm-hmm. Posing as occupants of UFOs.
Yes, that these well, they did not, Bullard and Vallée did not go that far, but it was Gordon Creighton in England, who was a remarkable academic and linguist, who first advanced the idea that perhaps the abductions were caused by a form of creation that the Muslims called jinns, and that are the same type of interfering, harassing, paraphysical creature.
Not ghosts,
conducts,
right?
Conducts abductions in every culture down through the millennia worldwide. The Muslims call it the third order of creation. Created between angels and mankind.
What would these beings, creatures, call us, call them what they may, why would they want to abduct human beings?
They, according to all the information that I have in my book, How to Defend Yourself Against Alien Abduction, There are folklore and academic accounts and historical accounts from the medieval times down to the present that these creatures are both good and evil, and that they like to harass human beings for their own reasons. No culture has ever been able to really figure out why this harassing form of creature would have so much fun bothering us. I don't know if it's fun they're having, or if, like in the sexual encounters that they do with Westerners, perhaps they enjoy, you know, the sexual nature of it. I wouldn't be able to give you a reason why these creatures are the way they are. But they are described in all these cultures as being both good and evil, and deceptive, you see. And that even the good ones among the jinns, or what the other names they're called, might change from being, you know, good to a human to being harassing.
And this may be a very natural part of the universe, these creatures.
I would think from my study, my years-long study of this paraphysical type of creature, might also call it interdimensional, there's no doubt that it exists in my mind.
Are they taking humans and into this other dimension, or are they doing all these dastardly deeds here?
From what we can understand, they contact human beings generally when the human beings are sleeping or in some kind of altered state, like road hypnosis, you know, that is not full waking consciousness. And it is at this time that these creatures are able to penetrate into the minds of a human and increase the altered state so that they can appear to the creature, to the humans.
It's incredible.
It's incredible, yes. Now, I know that a lot of researchers in the field do not agree with me, but gradually more and more researchers are coming to understand that when they work with abductees who are strong-minded and have a sense of their own rights to privacy, that they can fight the creatures off in this altered state in which the creatures appear to them and conduct their harassment. So,
and what are the, you know, with what they're doing, we don't know what they want. It seems to be ongoing. Why hide yourself with, you know, creating UFO crafts and things like that? Why that deception, if that's indeed what's going on?
Well, my hypothesis is that in all the other cultures down through the millennia, they never, you know, presented themselves as creatures from extraterrestrial craft. You know, they presented themselves in different forms and, you know, with different kinds of clothing and things like that. But when the United States was founded, we developed a pragmatic culture, which sort of lost the folklore and the knowledge of this type of creature, and we did not believe in what you call a fairy stories, the Boonians that the Malaysians talk about, or incubi even that the Europeans talk about, or jinns, which were not generally known at that time. And so my hypothesis is that the creatures themselves figured out that there was one way that they could frighten Americans, strong-minded Americans, and that is to present themselves as technologically superior beings from physical UFOs.
Why just Americans? Why not just worldwide? It's a worldwide phenomenon, isn't it?
Well, in other cultures, that they continue to appear in the form and which they have done for centuries. But when they came to our culture, you see, we had lost our belief in folklore and things like that. And so, but once they had in the 1973s, 1973, and There were thousands, began to be thousands of abduction cases in the 70s and 80s, and gradually the belief in abducting UFO aliens spread to other Western countries such as England, Ireland, Australia, you see.
How do we fight this, Anne? You've written a book about this, How to Defend Yourself Against Alien Abduction. How do you do this?
Well, you do what my 71 abductees that I wrote about in the book did. These were all strong-minded witnesses who had a firm sense of their own rights to privacy, you see, inviolable rights. And they would instinctively, the ones I write about, instinctively developed ways in their own mind to fight the creatures off. So it's like a mental struggle.
Yes.
When the victim would find himself or herself in a ship, you know, with these creatures examining them, they would realize in their own brain, even though they were paralyzed, that they could break and the altered state in which the scenario was occurring by attempting very, very strongly to move one finger, one toe, and once they were able to move themselves, they found themselves fully awake in their own beds.